Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So many of you will be familiar with what we've been talking about, our verse for the year. And I've got an easy way of remembering it because it's on these walls. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realised they were unschooled ordinary men, they were amazed and took note that these men had been with Jesus. You see, one of the things that interests Luke is that these two men who were speaking on such a big occasion to him didn't quite seem to be the right people. He notes they were unschooled and ordinary. Now, when I read stories like that, I feel quite reassured, because I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't quite feel the right person either in various situations. Sometimes, if I'm honest with you, I'm well aware of the fact I'm not the right person. So if at the moment, for example, someone comes to me with a very complicated question on running a website, I know I'm not the right person, and I'll probably give Andy Page a call and hopefully he can sort it out. But I don't know about you, but there are times when suddenly I gradually realise I'm not the right person. I think back a couple of years to when a friend asked me to go and have a game of snooker with him. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had quite a few games of pool with the relatively small table, and it's not impossible to knock the balls into the pockets, is it? But when I turned up with my friend to the snooker hall and I took a look at the snooker table, I don't know about you, but they're massive, absolutely massive. And as I stood down one end trying to knock a ball in, the pocket was miles away and looked tiny. And I started to realise I'm not quite the right person to have a game of snooker with, or at least a decent game. But our passage here in Luke is about a much more extreme example of a group of men who were more than aware they had significant problems. Leprosy in those days was a term for many types of skin condition, and it had a really damaging implication at a number of levels. It was difficult with them for themselves. It was a very uncomfortable condition, so sleeping well, for example, would have been nearly impossible. It was difficult for them with others. They were understood to be infectious, which meant that no one would come near them, and they had to live with other lepers together. Just imagine being left out and shunned by society. And they understood it was even difficult with them with God. Under Jewish law, they were ritually unclean, which meant they would have sensed an even bigger barrier between themselves and God. Now, this might come as a bit of a surprise to us, because there's nothing like that in our culture. But imagine being crippled with this disease, pushed away by anyone healthy, and then sensing there was a long distance, not only between you and other people, but between you and God as well. That feeling of there being a sense of separation with God isn't something that would have just been restricted to these men. Many others would have also felt the same, not quite the right people. Indeed, Luke, when he writes his gospel, is particularly interested in writing about the outsiders, those who wouldn't have quite felt right with God, for a whole number of reasons. Perhaps you may feel this at times, that you're not quite the right person for God, that there are others who seem to do this spiritual thing better than you, that somehow you're outside the set of people that God most associates with. Certainly these lepers felt that way, and they acknowledge it in how they made their appeal to Jesus. Did you spot it in verse 12? They stood at a distance. And because it was so far away, they have to shout, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And Jesus recognizes their plight, and he heals them. And notice the way that he does it, by telling them to present themselves to the priests. You see, when it came to judging between clean and unclean, whether it came to seeing whether a leper was actually healed or not, the priests acted as a sort of health authority. And if they were satisfied the leper was healed, they would provide a certificate. In other words, Jesus made sure that all the religious laws were obeyed, so that these people could be accepted back into society because they had a certificate to prove it. Now, in many gospel stories, that would be an end to our account. Jesus sees a need and heals. But Luke is interested in how this group responds, and so we find there is more to the story. Now, we only actually hear about one of the 10, but we can probably infer what the other 9 did. In all probability, they found themselves healed. They got it certified by the priest, and they went on their way. It's not that they disobeyed Jesus, it's just there was very little recognition for what had happened. But Luke's focus is not on those 9, but on the 1, who realizes he's been healed, and is so filled with a sense of gratitude, he goes back to Jesus. And we can see from these verses, he's really grateful. Verse 15, he's praising God in a loud voice. Verse 16, he throws himself at Jesus' feet and thanks him. Now that's appreciation. So, one says, thank you. Now, at one level, we can say, well, good for him. He's been properly behaved and polite. And you and I know that if someone does you a favour, the right thing to do is to say thank you. I've no doubt all of us were brought up with that value. Is that true?
Yeah,
of course it is. Of course it is. And it's a really good one. I hope I say my thank yous. For example, if you see me after a church service at the back without a coffee, and you go and get me a coffee, I hope I will say thank you to you, because I will be grateful, and I'll want you to show that. And I'll want to show that. But in our account, Jesus seems to set a great deal of store by the fact that this healed leper had come back. Indeed, he says to him, your faith has made you well. You see, there seems to be something deeper than just congratulating the man because he'd been polite. When we thank someone, we recognise that person and what they have given. When that happens, it changes from our just taking what's there to appreciating where it's come from and who's provided it. I'm really grateful that on our notice sheet each week, we try and communicate our thanks to a particular set of people in church. This time it's the youth church team who are out there. thank you to them. And as well as saying thank you to other people, I wonder how good are you and I at saying it to God about thanking him. In other words, not just taking spiritually what's there, but appreciating where it's come from and who's provided it. Sometimes we may receive a blessing from God. It may be an answer to our prayers. It may be that we're blessed in some way. We get that, and then we go on our way without appreciating the significance of what we'd received. Spiritually, have I done that? Lots of times. I may have received something from God, but if I'm honest with you, my mind's already on the next thing. So I wonder, who are you more like? The nine who got what they needed and went on their way? Or the one who saw what had happened and went back to say thank you? You see, when we thank God for what he's done and who he's been to us, we are recognising who he is. That God has been our carer, our provider, our heavenly father. In other words, in Christian terms, it's more than being polite. When we learn to thank God as Christians, we are doing something very significant. We're recognising God for who he is in our lives. And that seems to be in our passage why Jesus commends this man for his faith and why it really interests Luke. Luke saves his punchline for near the end of our story, which is the fact that this man is more on the outside than we'd already thought, because he's a foreigner, a Samaritan. In other words, that man, by his actions, breaks the understanding that when one of your own help you out, well, of course you recognise it with them, but you don't really bother with someone who's much more removed from you because you probably won't see them again. But this foreign leper came back. He appreciated the importance of his healing and didn't just go on his way and get on with his life. Rather, he turned his mind to the one who had done this wonderful thing. He recognized Jesus for who he was, in that he's praising God as he returns to Jesus. And in doing so, he shows his faith. So how might you and I do our thank yous to God? Well, there's several ideas, many of which actually have been covered in our wonderful series in the evening, Prayer Unlimited. I know many of you have been. It's a really, really good series, talking about different ways we can pray. And sometimes we don't quite know what to say to God. How do we start? What do we say? And one of the acronyms they gave us was the word ACTS, A-C-T-S. And it just tells us about four areas we can pray to God. A, adoration, thanking God for who he is, praising him. C, confession, saying sorry. T, thank yous, thanking God for who he is and what he's done. And then finally, S, supplication, which means asking for things for God, for others, and for ourselves. Learning to thank God every day. It could be something really simple, like something you see in nature, or maybe a smile you've seen on someone's face. Really simple things. Or it could be about something, about what he's done for us in sending us Jesus. Be creative. Have a go. You'll be surprised how much there is to thank God for. So in other words, thank yous in prayer are not just a preliminary before we get on with our shopping list. You know, we butter God up with a couple of thank yous and then we get down to it. No, thank yous are a really important part of our prayer life, because when we thank God, we grow in our faith, because in it we're recognizing who God is for us. And faith, as you may remember, Becca explained to us a couple of weeks ago, isn't just a thing we have. It's more about a disposition. In other words, faith is not a possession. It's an attitude we have towards God. So when we say thank you, we are recognizing who God is. And that not only demonstrates our faith, it actually builds it up. There are many, many things we can thank God for. His love for us. His love for us, even as we all, in some ways, are not quite the right people for God. Or think of his creation or what he's done in our lives. And the Christian response is to say thank you and to give our lives back to God. That's the right response. That's the response which builds our faith. Of course, there are many ways to do this. There are many actions you and I might take. Of course, one of them is our financial giving that I touched on with the needs that we have as a congregation a bit earlier. Do please pray about your own response to all that God has given you. And as you say thank you, in all the different ways that you and I can, as you respond, so you'll find that this gratitude attitude begins to have an effect on your life and builds up your faith.